There we go. There he is. All right, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Good to see you.
How's y'all's Thanksgiving?
Great.
10 pounds heavier. Golly. Isn't that the truth, man? Anybody got any leftovers? I think we're at about a third left of leftovers. Yeah. All right, Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're at this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 25 is we're going to look at. But I want to give you the context of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Real simple thought. I think we would all read the verse and say, yep, I agree with that. Let's not do that. And there's a little more to it we'll look at. Ephesians 4, 25. All right, so when you get saved, become a new creature in Christ. And it's your responsibility to put on the new man, like you would put on a coat, put on a shirt. You put off the old man, you put on the new man, and that's what he's talking about. And so the new man has some characteristics, and the old man has some characteristics. And here's the very first thing, and he's going to mention, and has to do with what a Christian does with his mouth or her mouth. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Let's pray, and we talk about speaking the truth here. Father, thank you so much for providing for us, for salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for everybody that's here this morning, and I do pray everybody here this morning would get what they need from you, and Father, that you would have liberty among us to apply your words to our hearts, and Lord, for the teachers in the back, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids, and Lord, that everybody that's shown up this morning would be fed by you and nourished by you, and Lord, I pray you'd minimize any distractions. I pray that you would help us pay attention, help us focus. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said and what you want said. And Father, thank you again for the privilege it is to be here, be together with our folks, with your folks. And Father, thank you for the freedom to do this in this country. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so look up in verse 22. And you'll kind of see the context of what we're getting into. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the old man is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you got two different things. You got like a dirty set of clothes and you got a clean set of clothes there. And the idea is you put off one thing and you put on something else. So it's a pretty simple idea. And it's good thought for if you're trying to I guess he's going to give you a positive and a negative on each of these things, where he's going to say, if you're going to put something off, you're going to stop doing something, and you start doing something else. With, you know, if you're going to stop telling lies, you need to start telling the truth. And that's the way you do that. So the first thing he says is putting away lying. Putting away lying. Now I think we could all agree lying is bad, and we could all say amen, and we could all, you know, finish up breakfast and figure that out, be done with all this. But there's a little more to it. When you get saved, like I said, you are a new creature in Christ. You got a new man, and your responsibility is to put on the new man. That's not something that's going to come natural to you. It's not something that's going to be an automatic thing where the new man is automatically working or automatically put on. You got to do that. It's your responsibility. And all that stuff that the old man did, the lying, and that's part of the old man. He's never, and when you say old man, what you're talking about is your flesh and blood. That's what you're talking about. This body, that's the old man. And what this body wants is always contrary to God. It is anti-God. It is against the Holy Spirit. Your body wants pleasure when God wants you to do something that may not be pleasurable. Your body wants convenience when God may say to do something that's not really that convenient to you. And so the body is going to always work against what God wants. And so when you were not saved, your old man was used to lying, and that came natural. The flesh is a liar. The psalmist said they go forth speaking lies from the womb. I mean, from your very, very beginning. That's how you start out. The Bible says the devil is the father of lies. So he taught man the benefit of lying. And I say that, you know, kind of tongue in cheek. There's not really a benefit to it. There can be a convenience to it, at least temporary. But the devil taught man the convenience and the benefits of lying. And so when you lie, he said, you know, you're of the father, you're devil, of your father, the devil, when he's talking to the Pharisees. Lying can be comfortable. The Bible talks about people who delight in lies. They bless with their mouth. They curse with their heart. The Bible says people prefer to be lied to in many cases. They would rather just deal with a lie than deal with the truth. They would rather not hear the truth. And I mean, you have probably experienced that with other people. You probably experienced it with yourself. Where you would just rather not deal with the reality of the situation and just go on and forget about it. And so that's a very comfortable sometimes place to be, but it's not a profitable place to be. Isaiah said they make lies their refuge. That's what you think about when you lie. You think you're protecting yourself or you're helping yourself in some way. Job described the folks that were counseling him, his friends there, as being liars and physicians with no value. They were trying to offer counsel that wasn't a help to him. They were lying to him. Even though they were saying things that sounded right, they weren't applied right. They didn't have anything to do with Job's situation. Anyway, there's all kinds of descriptions of lies in the Bible. In Jeremiah, he says, our fathers have inherited lies, where they just get passed down generation to generation. People never question them. They just would rather accept them than deal with, you know, what's true. But lying is natural. The point is, it's natural. It's part of the old man. The old man used to make excuses. But what happens whenever you get saved is the old man is still the old man. And those excuses that the old man used just become Christian excuses. The flatteries become Christian flatteries. The manipulations become Christian manipulations. And everything gets a spiritual twist to it, but still the old man. Here's a good one. You know, you get somebody, I don't know if you guys have experienced this. I've experienced this a few times. Somebody would like to do something in their life, and they know that's not the right thing to do, and so their reason is or their excuse is, well, I've prayed about this, and this is what God wants me to do. Well, you know good and well it's not what God wants you to do. But you covered that thing with a lie to make it sound like, hey, this is spiritual, it's okay now. That's just the old man talking in a spiritual way. It's still the old man talking. People say, I feel the Lord is leading me in this way. Well, you know good and well he's not leading you there because he would never tell you to do something, whatever the case is. He's not going to tell you to do that. All that stuff is, it's just the old man. Paul experienced this even as a mature Christian. It was incredibly deceitful, I guess. But look over here in Acts chapter 21. I'll show you a real spiritual deception that comes from, I mean, it really looks like it looks like the new man, but it's not. Acts 21 and verse 11. You guys remember when Paul was told, do not go to Jerusalem. Y'all remember he was told, do not go to Jerusalem. The Lord told him, don't go to Jerusalem, go to the Gentiles. Do not go back to Jerusalem. What's the last time God tells him that? Acts 21 and verse 11. The Bible says, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. This is Agabus the prophet. Coming unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him, that's Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now that sounds real good, doesn't it? That sounds really good. I am ready to die for the Lord. I am ready to give my life, but I'm not ready to be obedient. Watch what it says. And when, in verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Meaning the will of the Lord is not going to be done here. Paul is bound in his spirit to do something contrary to God. And what he's done is he has an unhealthy, I don't know how to say, an unhealthy relationship with his own people, where God has told him to go somewhere else, and his affection for his own people is not a bad thing to have an affection for people, it's not a bad thing to have a love for people, but when that thing is carried and you use contrary to the word of God, to what God's clearly telling you to do, this happens a lot, you know, in relationships, where relationships trump God's word, where blood is thicker than the Bible, where I'm not going to do it because I just care about this person too much. As much as spiritual and all that sounds spiritual, that's the old man talking. That is incredibly deep down deceit that says, I don't care what God wants me to do, I'm going to do what I want to do, but I've got a really good spiritual reason for doing what I want to do. All right? So this, nobody's immune to this. Now what you find out is that when Paul goes to Jerusalem, the next few chapters in Acts, he's run through the courts and all that stuff, he ends up in jail, and none of that stuff was God's plan for him. He didn't have him set up to do all of that, but he ends up putting himself in a position where he gets himself out of the will of God there. God ends up getting him to Rome anyway, but not the way he was going to get him there in the first place. All right, so sometimes it's a spiritual excuse. Sometimes a lie is a safety excuse. Look over here in Proverbs chapter 26, and I just want to cover these types of lies, because I say lying and we all say, yeah, amen, don't lie, but we don't think of the types of lies we tell. Spiritual excuses about safety. Proverbs 26 and verse 13. These are just the types of lies that get told before you're saved, and then after you're saved, they get a little spiritual twist to them. All right, Proverbs 26:13. All right, here's a lazy guy absolving himself of responsibility, and this is what he says. The slothful man saith, "There is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As a door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed," so on and so forth about the slothful man. All right, there's another place, and I think it's Proverbs 23. The point is, that slothful man, that's his excuse. My life is in danger if I go outside my house. That's what he said. There's a lion outside, and my life is in danger if I leave my house. All right, the fact is, there's no lion outside. He's not in danger. The truth of the matter, he just doesn't want to do anything. He would rather lay in bed all day and do nothing. But what he says is, well, there's some danger outside, so I can't leave. Well, you can leave, but that's your excuse. You understand, that's the excuse. It's an excuse of safety. And it's not true. He's just hiding the fact that he's lazy. He doesn't want to leave. And then we get, you go on and on about this stuff because we use excuses all the time. And find ourselves, I think, oftentimes just treating the symptoms of an excuse. So this guy doesn't leave the house, he gets hungry, now he needs food, now he can't leave, he doesn't want to go to the grocery store. All these kinds of things happen as a result of this guy's laziness. And so you end up treating all these peripheral problems that happened, whereas if you never get to the source of the problem is he's lazy. And if you never deal with that, you end up treating symptoms the whole time. All right, so that's another thing, these excuses. All right, the old man made excuses before. Now when you get saved, they just become spiritual excuses. The old man used flattery. He was always angling for himself. He was always angling to get the advantage. And the new man doesn't do that. But when you get saved, the old man just cloaks that stuff in a spiritual garb. Makes it sound real spiritual. We love you. You're such a great whatever. Mary Beth and I had this running joke, and some of y'all may have noticed. Maybe you have. I'll tell it to you. I'll just go ahead and tell it to you. So I noticed early on in preaching. And I don't want to discourage you guys from being encouraging because you are encouraging. But I noticed early on in preaching when folks who have come for the first time tell you this is the best sermon they've ever heard and we're going to be here again, you'll never see them again. And the folks that leave mad come back. It was just like clockwork. Folks would say, that's the best thing we've ever heard in our lives, and we're going to be back for sure to this church, and you'll never see them again. You won't be able to go to their house. They won't open the door for you. They don't want nothing to do with you anymore. The point is, flattery is flattery. That's just flattery in a spiritual way. Great sermon. Now, you guys are here, so I'm not saying you're an encouragement. But you understand what I'm saying, I think. The old man uses flattery. When you get saved, he just uses spiritual flattery. The old man manipulates. He'll volunteer information that doesn't need to be volunteered, and he'll withhold information that doesn't need to be withheld. And all that stuff is the angle for his own profit or his own comfort or his own joy or his own whatever it is, revenge. Sometimes, but the old man manipulates. I remember a couple many years ago. They always had a prayer request, and it always involved needing money. All right, at some point, you realize this is not a prayer request. This is asking the congregation for someone to show up and write them a check. All right, it sounds very spiritual. Pray for us. We have this money thing. And what you realize is that's how they've been cloaking, fishing for money. So it's a manipulation. The old man does that, and when you get saved, he just uses a spiritual context to put it in. The old man exaggerates. The Bible talks about great swelling words of vanity. Exaggerate the, you know, the fish story. It's bigger than it actually was. It's more than it actually was. It's exaggeration. And the old man loves juicy gossip. All these things are forms of lying. Exaggeration, excuses, flattery, manipulation. All these are forms of lying. We say lying, everybody says, okay, yeah, amen, don't lie. But don't think about the forms of lying all this stuff takes on. The old man loves juicy gossip. Have you ever heard something that you didn't verify? And I'm telling you, if you got a piece of juicy gossip, don't tell me. Because my old man loves to hear juicy gossip. Old man loves juicy gossip. Have you ever heard something that you didn't verify, but you're willing to spread it before you know it's true? You hear something about somebody, and the first reaction you have is to go tell somebody what you heard. That's lying. You have no idea if that's true. You have no idea where this came from. And you're perfectly willing to throw someone else under the bus, whether you know this is true or not. Why? Because the old man loves that stuff. He loves that juicy gossip. All that stuff, lying takes on all these forms, all right? Now, back in Ephesians, let's deal with what the new man does. Because I think we understand the old man. All right, in these days, you know, people think truth is up for grabs, and that's a lot of the reason you're in the condition, the culture is in the condition it is. All right, he says in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, exaggeration, excuses, flattery, manipulation, juicy gossip, put it all away. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. All right, so the new man loves the truth. That's all he loves. You read over there in 1 John about the new man, the child of God, the new man sinneth not. And we've dealt with that before. But there's a part of you when you get saved as a new creature. That new creature only desires to please God. That's all that new creature desires is to please God. That's you now. You're a new creature. All right, the body, though, does not desire to please God, ever. It never desires to please God. But the new man does. It's one thing to know the truth. Notice this, it's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to speak the truth. We can pat ourselves on the back a lot for things we know in the Bible. I can divide the Bible right. I can pick it apart. I can tell you all the judgments and all the crowns, all that stuff. One thing to know all that stuff, it's another thing to say all that stuff and to speak it. Truth is light. It is revelation. It's exposure. And a lot of times the problem is it's exposure to sin, and so we don't enjoy that thing. Let me give you some verses just on the truth here and it being a light. The Bible says, I'm going to read several of them to you. The Bible says, thy word is a what under my feet? A lamp. So that tells me what's the next step I take. I look for light. Where I see light, that's my next step. Thy word is a lamp under my feet. And a what? A light under my path. All right, so that's the truth. It's revelation and it's guidance and it's direction. Thy word is that thing. Proverbs, he said, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Jesus Christ said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Anybody know that one? Ye are the light of the world. The light shines. I mean, if you want to do a study on it, you got the light shines in the scriptures, the Bible. The light shines in the Savior, Jesus Christ. And the light shines in the saints. That's you. That's where the light shines. 1 Thessalonians, he says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. The truth is light. It's exposure. And it's very helpful when you're trying to see where you're going. The Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. So truth is revelation. All right, you got that. I think you understand that. It's light. It's exposure. The other thing that truth is, it's liberation. Can anybody think of a good verse that deals with truth being liberating? I know y'all know the verse. There you go. Yeah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's liberating. Lies are binding. They're chains. They make for a prison. But the truth is liberating. So your mouth is now freed up to speak the truth. And in the new man there, all right? He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ is the truth. He makes people free from sin. And you think about that being free. You know, it's tough to get anything accomplished in the dark. Just physically, you turn out the lights, it's tough to get anything done. You need light to see what you're doing in order to make it accomplish something. You want to build a building, you want to do anything, you need light. And truth is liberating in the fact that it's revelation, it's light, and then it also is liberating. The devil blinds by darkness, and that's what lies are a lot of times. They're hidden. Things that are hidden from view, things that are not revealed. And that's when he says the deceitfulness up there in Ephesians chapter 4 about the old man being corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So the lusts don't give you the whole story. They just tell you what the pleasure is, but they don't tell you the rest of the story. So truth tells you the rest of the story. It's light, it's liberating. But here's something interesting about truth, and this is probably the reason we don't like to talk about truth in public. Look in Proverbs chapter 23. All right, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. All right, what's the first three words of that verse? By the truth. By the truth. So that means truth comes at a cost, right? If you got to pay for it, that means it came at a cost. Truth has a cost. All right, can anyone think of some costs involved with truth? The cross. The truth is the sin had to be paid for. That's the truth. The truth had a cost. All right, what's some other ones? How about you get saved and you lose, some of you guys have experience with this, you lose friends. Truth had a cost, right? But by the truth, what about you lost some family? Truth had a cost. And this is why it's going to be hard for that new man to speak the truth. It's one thing to know the truth. You show up, we teach the Bible, we go through the Bible. One thing to learn this stuff. But the problem is when it goes in public, it has a cost now. Buy the truth and sell it not. All right, so the first part of that is truth. Truth becomes, for lack of a better term, and this is the reason we don't promote it like we should, truth is a liability. It has a cost. Buy the truth. All right, if you're going to own it, it's going to cost you to own it. If you're going to own it, it's going to cost you to own it. If you're going to learn, if you're going to get something from it's one again, it's one thing to have mental acceptance of what the Bible says. But it is vastly different to personally own the truths in the Bible. It's one thing to know about Jesus on the cross, but it is vastly different to have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a different thing. It's one thing to know about, it's one thing to know about witnessing. But it's vastly different to actually be a witness. These things are all showing you there is a cost involved with truth. And the old man hates the price. The old man hates the price of truth. He's not willing to pay it. He doesn't want to be involved in the cost. He is out for his pleasure, his comfort, his satisfaction. And anything that doesn't contribute to those things, he's against that. And the truth is not working in that direction. So he says, buy the truth. Truth has a price. Sometimes the truth costs you your feelings. Have you ever been told the truth and you just didn't want to hear what got told? I've had it multiple times. You guys, I think you understand. But you need to hear what's being said. You need that information, and you need to accept that information because it's true. And you'll never be able to grow, you'll never be able to move forward until you deal with this truth. And if you never deal with this truth, you're not going to make any progress. All right, so sometimes the truth costs you your feelings. Like we said, family, friends. If we were to go to another country in, say, the Middle East, the truth cost you your life. The truth would cost you your job. You would literally be, in some places, you would literally be homeless if you trust Jesus Christ and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'd be out of a job, you'd be out of a family, and that would be the cost of truth. Fortunately, in this country, we're not to that point yet, but maybe the pleasures have worked to that end where we're not willing to pay the price anymore. But the point is, truth is a liability, and that's going to work against the new man. The new man loves the truth. The things we do, for instance, I'll give you... The things we do here in church, I think I've said this before, but here in church, this setup doesn't make really any sense. You guys show up at a church, we open a Bible, you get preached to, and then after getting under conviction, after hearing things from the Bible, then you throw your money in the plate. That's not a business model. That doesn't work anywhere else. The point is, what we're doing here is all for the new man, not the old man. It's all directed at the new man, not directed at the old man. It has nothing. When you start taking church and directing him towards the old man, it's going to become a mess. So truth is a liability. Truth is, but it's liberating. Truth is light. It's revelation. It's liberating. Truth will make you free, as the opposite of lies will bind you up. That's how the devil gets you tricked. The deceitful lust of the old man, You know, dangle the dollar bill. This is going to make you happy. This is going to get you where you need to go. And you chase that thing and you find out it didn't get you where you wanted to go. Now you got more trouble than you had before, and you're out of God's will. Truth is liberating, though. You accept the truth, you follow the Lord Jesus Christ where He wants you to go. And it doesn't mean you're going to be absent of problems. It means you're going to be in God's will, making God happy. But truth has a liability as well. It has a price to it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Judas sold it. Judas sold the truth. And money is a very powerful thing. Boy, there's so much you could say about that. Money is a Judas sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. They sold the truth for 30 pieces of silver. I've heard, I don't know how many sermons, you know, about how much are you willing to sell Jesus Christ out for, you know. Because we all sell Him out at some point. We are all sellouts to Jesus Christ. Growing is in Jesus Christ is learning to not sell Him out so much. Learning to follow Him in spite of all the temptations and the pleasures and the other things that come with following Him. The truth is a liability. It has a cost to it. Buy the truth, sell it not. Don't put a price on it to get rid of it. There are some areas in our lives where we put a price on truth and said, if this shows up in my life, I'm going to ignore everything I know about God and I'm going to go do this thing. That's our price. That's what it cost. So the new man, I think the point is simple in Ephesians chapter 4. You put off the old man and you put on the new man. And he's just talking about your mouth here. You put off lying and you put on the new man who is speaking the truth, who wants to speak the truth. And you saw several forms of lying, exaggeration and the excuses and the flattery and the manipulation, the gossip, all that kind of stuff. And so in every one of these, as we go back to Ephesians, every one of these little instructions, he's going to say, stop doing this and start doing this. Put this off and put this on. Take this jacket off, take this coat off, take this filthy thing off, and put on this clean thing. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And it's good advice. It's going to be tough to just stop anything if you don't start doing the right thing in its place. If you stop doing the wrong thing, you're going to start doing the wrong thing if you never start doing the right thing. You just pick another wrong thing to do. So, all that said, we got a little time. Any questions regarding any of this?